Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This week's episode of Book Cheat is brought to you by Audible. Visit audible.com/bookcheat or text bookcheat to 500 500. Hello and welcome to Book Cheat, the book club podcast where I've read the book so you don't have to. My name is Dave Warnicki, and on each episode of this show, we look at one of the classics. And joining me to look at such a classic, it's two of my best chums in the whole podcast business. It's Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having us. Jeez, there was a little bit of a stipulation there. Best buds. Oh, in the podcast business.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up because I was also going to.
Top 10? That's
in
pretty good.
In the podcast business.
There's like a million podcasts on iTunes now.
What about just in like your personal life?
Yeah, Joe Rogan's a good friend in my personal life and a great friend in the podcast world.
Yeah, okay.
I agree with him a lot.
So it just means the same thing, really. You say in the podcast world.
I don't.
One and the same.
I don't have friends. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, great. Okay. Yeah, cool. I'll take that compliment then.
So I consider you friends first, colleagues second.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? For those that don't know, you guys are my co-hosts. We do a show together called Do Go On.
And if they don't know, where have they been?
Where have you been?
I'm sorry. Is it nice in that rock you live under?
We've just been nominated for an actor, goddammit.
And it is going to our heads. Thank you very much.
We have our first award nomination, and my goodness, I've been telling everyone.
I haven't told anyone. I underreacted, didn't I? I'm actually so sorry.
I haven't told anyone. But
it felt good to get off my chest just then.
So it is the Australian Academy Cinema and Television Awards. We've been nominated for Best Web Series, which is for our web series that you can check out now.
Yep.
And just posted in our like group chat being like, hey guys, here's something else, you know, some other topic. And then also we got nominated for this screenshot and I was like, what?
I was really, only once I told other people and they went, yay, I went, oh. Actually, I didn't even tell people. Other people saw it and said, hey, were you just nominated for an actor? And I said, yes, me and me alone. That's right.
So to put it in perspective, it's the Australian film version of a Logie.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like the Australian version of an Emmy.
Yeah. That's what a Logie is.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish there was an easier way to explain this, but there's not.
No.
The actors are the Australian movie version of the Australian TV Awards, the Logies, which are the Australian version of America's Emmys.
Yes.
Which are the American version of the New Zealand.
Right, yes.
NZs, probably.
NZs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we been nominated for an NZ?
Well, yeah. Basically, we've been nominated for an Australian film and TV NZ.
Yeah.
Right, now I get it. And holy shit, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
So
yeah, we're a very big deal now.
We'd like to thank the Academy.
It's sort of like the Australian TV and film version of the Tonys in America, only there for musicals.
Yeah.
So if it was for if Tonys were an online, and because they don't normally do online for the actors, do they? Is it a new thing? It's called, I think our category is called online entertainment.
It's nice to know we're entertaining sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, that's what we're going for. So it's good that that came across.
One of the others up there is a car show, I think.
One's a personal trainer of some kind.
So it's one of those ones that's really, really easy to compare and go, yes.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
This is the... is the obvious
most entertaining.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine there'll be just some sort of applause-o-meter in the room.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, of course.
Just like at the Oscars.
How else do you choose things?
The Oscars, sorry, what's that?
That's like the American NZ-ies.
Okay.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Americans got an NZ-y.
Yeah. Well, they're trying.
Yeah, well.
Good luck to them.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit cute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good for America.
And good for us. It's nice to be thought of anyway. Yeah. So.
Geez, we talked about that for way too long. Can you edit that down?
Absolutely not.
Don't want it to sound like we're getting ahead of ourselves.
But I've bought a mansion.
Yeah, that's right.
There's money with this, yes?
There's a cash prize.
Oh, great. Is it in the millions?
I hope so, for your sake.
Yeah, me too, because I am in a lot of debt.
Now, so Book Cheat is actually a spin-off of Do Go On.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's episode is a true spin-off of Do Go On, because recently it was the month of October. But in the world of Do Go On, that's called Blocktober, or Blockbuster-tober, mm-hmm. where we do our most requested topics. And our number one most requested topic for 2020, the one that got the most votes out of 100 topics that we put up, was about an American author, and that is H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And the full title is H.P. Lovecraft and the Cthulhu Mythos. So, we've already done a podcast on H.P. Lovecraft. I did a report on that. Do you remember much?
Thank you. No.
It was last week.
Yeah. I remember, like...
Bits.
I remember it was a tough life.
Yeah.
And he was a racist.
Yes.
And...
Yeah, these are the two takeaways.
And he had lots of phobias.
Lots of phobias. That's right.
Yeah.
And everyone around him, he had a lot of suffering around. A lot of people died before their time around him. Including him, I think.
And he got married, and then she moved away, and he just moved in with his aunties and never saw his wife again.
Because they were racist against his wife.
Yes. As was he, but he still married her.
Mm.
Yes.
Interesting guy.
They were like another level of racist against him, and he's famously racist.
Yeah.
So they're very famously racist.
Is that about right, Dave?
Yeah,
that's about right. So that's right. But if you want to hear the whole episode, we talked about it for about an hour and a half.
Spoilers.
With a few more facts and figures thrown in for good measure. And I said, just to give an idea of the Cthulhu Mythos, which is the name of the fictional universe that lots of his stories were set in, and later on that they were dubbed the Cthulhu Mythos. Just to give people a better idea, I said I'll do an episode of Book Cheat on one of his stories, and that is what we're here to do today. I'm going to tell you all about his story, The Call of Cthulhu.
Ah, from the mythos.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so good to be back here talking to the Book Chooks. Wait, are we Book Chooks to be on the show, or the listeners the Book Chooks?
Are you like the mama hen?
Yeah, I think I'm the biggest Book Chook.
Right.
But I say hello, Book Chooks.
Right, yeah, great. And I just wanted the Book Chooks out there listening at home to know that Jess and I both noticed that Dave is looking buff.
Yeah.
So your mother hen is cock of the walk, baby.
I love that. Jess said, "You're looking buff," because we haven't seen each other face to face in many months. And I said, "How?"
Yeah. He takes a compliment well, our Dave.
Because like, if I'd been like, well, actually, I've been doing some chin-ups in isolation.
Yeah.
I've done nothing.
Yeah. Well, it's working
for you. I've done less than usual.
Keep it up.
And I've put on muscle.
It's working.
Maybe all I need to do is stay still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let your body do the work.
Yeah.
I'm working out right now.
Yeah. And you are nailing it, my friend.
So, thank you so much. The Call of Cthulhu. People suggest these books, and a few people have suggested this specific Lovecraft tale. And thank you very much to Alex Giordano from Canada, Brandon Humphreys, also from Canada, Sam Jones from the UK, Carter J. Jarvis from the UK, and also from the UK, Oliver Pettiplatt.
The OPP.
The OPP. Rolls off the tongue, Oliver Pettiplatt. Love
that.
That's
great.
So thanks to those people, and you can suggest a book at any time. There's a link in the description of this episode. So The Call of Cthulhu is a short story or novella written by American horror author H.P. Lovecraft, first published in the pulp magazine Weird Tales in 1928. And let me tell you, this fits the brief.
It's a bit weird,
isn't
it?
It's a weird tale.
A bit bloody kooky,
oh,
is
yeah.
it? Oh, it's a bit odd.
Oh.
Oh,
weird, eh? Oh, all right.
You got my attention.
I'm listening.
Okay.
As we said before, if you want to hear more about the life of the writer and the stories that since his death have been labelled as the shared universe called the Cthulhu Mythos, check out the episode of Do Go On 262. But this story is one of the earliest in the so-called Cthulhu Mythos, which gets its name from this story.
Okay. But it's not the earliest. It's one of the earliest.
Yeah, it's probably the earliest important one.
Gotcha, okay. Everything else before that, trash.
Throw it out.
Get out of here. Not canon.
No.
You are not important.
No, put it in the canon. Fire it away. Yep. I don't want to hear about it.
Into the sun?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
I've always wanted to fire something into the sun.
Yeah, this feels like the perfect opportunity.
If I go first, can you fire me into the sun?
If you die first.
Yeah.
I thought you meant if you shot something into the sun first, then we could. I want to go up and see what happens.
That's kind of my thing.
Shoot me out behind it so I can see what happens. And then I'll come back down and report. We'll put a GoPro on my head.
Oh, that's a great idea.
No, I mean if I'm DED dead.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
It's one of my English teachers used to say, DED dead. And that the a lot of the girls in my class did not get that she was joking. Like, that's not how you spell it.
Is that a Simpsons bit? No.
I doubt she was quoting Simpsons, but it could have been something.
She was doing her own take on the SMRT.
Yeah.
SMRT. That's
anyway. Good stuff.
So this is it's a short story in three parts, all with titles. Part one is The Horror in Clay.
Oh. Ooh. He's got a phobia of claymation.
Yeah. Well, just to give you a feel for the words of Lovecraft, this is the opening line. The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far.
Wow.
End quote.
That is bleak.
That is very bleak. So basically, you're not meant to understand all these things.
Mm.
He's going to tell you some things that you shouldn't understand.
Okay.
Here's a list of things you shouldn't understand.
But what if I do understand any of it? It's unlikely, but you never know.
Have a go.
I'll give it
feels
a crack.
Feels like a burden.
I'm going to give it a crack.
It is a burden to know this stuff.
I really hope I'm just confused.
Yeah.
Well, the burden is known and shared by and told to us by a narrator named Francis Wayland Thurston.
That's three great names.
Yeah. A good name.
I feel like if this is one of his early stories, he's burnt three good names
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Francis Thurston.
Mm.
Wayland.
That's great.
Yeah.
So those were the words of FWT there, Francis Wayland Thurston, who recalls coming across some newspaper clippings and writings by his uncle, George Gamble Angel.
Oh, my God. You are just hitting it out of the park today, HP.
You can see why this is considered one of the most important early ones. Before this, the names were like Chris Mann and Johnny Pants.
Yeah.
He came from a great world of names, though, didn't he, from memory?
Oh, yeah. His grandfather, who's very important in his life, first name was Whipple.
That's right.
Yeah. Whipple.
Whipple. It's the best.
He sounds delicious.
So George Gamble Angle, full title is Professor Emeritus of Semitic Languages in Brown University, Providence, Rhode Island. Now, we talked about this on the Lovecraft episode, but Lovecraft was one of Rhode Island's most famous residents, and most of his mythos is set in, well, since his death has become one of the most famous, is set in the New England area, and he dreamed of going to Brown University, but never made it there himself.
Never made it down to Browntown.
Never got there. So sorry.
I go to Browntown regularly.
Really?
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Not beautiful for me. Oh, my God.
Did we connect last time that HP is a brown source?
We might have. We definitely talked about it. I don't know if we connected it to the university. All right,
exactly. We mentioned Brown University. We mentioned HP source, but you've brought it together there.
It was right in front of us all along.
Is that the real Cthulhu mythos?
Yeah, we solved it.
So he's come across newspaper clippings and an article and writings from his uncle. Our narrator has come across these newspaper clippings and writing and pieced together a story that he hopes no one else will be able to.
Oh.
He thinks
the selfish? Mine. My story.
He's like, I don't think anyone should ever be able to understand what I understand. But here is a story explaining what I understand.
Yeah, your actions speak louder than words, mate.
So he thinks the professor, his uncle, also probably wanted to destroy these notes and keep the story secret, but that he died suddenly.
He died with a match in his hands, yeah, trying to burn him. Oh!
And you're like, oh, died suddenly. He must have been pretty young then. Want to guess how old this man who planned to destroy this evidence if he wasn't cut down in his prime?
90.
92.
Yes!
He was 92.
Yes.
So young.
So he'd suffered a suspicious death, having died after being jostled by a sailor late at night.
Jostled. Honestly, only people in their 90s die from being jostled.
By a sailor. Jostled.
Sounds like a euphemism, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll jostle a sailor or two in my day.
Sounds like something's gone horribly wrong.
There you go. You know,
if you die.
Died doing what he loved. You know. Having a jostle.
Oh, having a jostle.
Hey? Having a cheeky jostle.
So the writer notes, physicians were unable to find any visible disorder, but concluded, after perplexed debate, that some obscure lesion of the heart, induced by the brisk ascent of so steep a hill by so elderly a man, was responsible for the end.
He walked up a hill.
Yeah.
Just say yeah, he got a bit tired.
Yeah.
He's old, he walked up a hill, his heart, his ticker went, no.
That's all he's got to say, but then he says, at this time I saw no reason to dissent from this dictum. Like, I went along with the findings, but laterly I'm inclined to wonder, and more than wonder. Mate, he was 92, there's nothing suspicious about it.
Why don't we say laterly anymore?
Yeah.
It's a great word, isn't it?
Love
it simplifies, fight it too much, because we just say later.
Laterly.
Laterly is great.
Love that.
It feels like if Poirot was on the case, this is the kind of thing where Jap would have come and go, open and shut case, Poirot. And then Poirot goes, not so fast, mon ami. I'm a little Grasselle.
Little Grasselle's there forming a plan. Anyway, his uncle died at 92. Great innings.
Amazing innings.
Especially in the 20s. Come on.
I'd like to die 2 years earlier, but that's just me.
90. Fired into the sun at 90.
Yeah. That's the plan. If I'm still kicking at 90, let's fire me into the sun.
Probably, like, technology probably would have reached that sort of level by then.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, let's do it. Yeah.
That's what NASA's working on. flying corpses into the sun.
The cemeteries are so full. What are we to do?
There's nowhere to burn them up on Earth. There's nothing hot enough.
But this way, all the, you know, the pollution that comes from burning something up only happens up there.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to affect us.
Millions
as far
of
as we know,
away.
Just throwing our rubbish into the sun probably won't lead to anything negative happening.
That should be fine.
Sorry to call you our
Thank
rubbish.
Thank you.
I mean, I was extrapolating that we would be chucking everything up there. Mm. Forgot to put that out there before. All we'd said so far is your body.
So your body is being essentially dumped into a space dumpster and then fired into the sun.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I mean, I'm dead. Who cares? Yeah. You know? Mm. I don't know I'm in a dumpster. Oh, no. I also don't know I'm being shot into the sun.
No.
But you know you're going to be.
We can just lie and tell you are.
Yeah.
You happy
lie
with
to
that?
Me.
Are you okay? We're going to shoot you into the sun.
Yeah, that'd be nice. God, it'd be impressive if Matt's still alive then.
Good luck.
Come this far.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, his uncle died and a narrator is the sole surviving family member, so as the executor of the old prof's will, and going through it, he found a mysterious box.
Ooh.
That he couldn't open.
Love a mysterious box.
Ooh. Eventually, he found a key on his uncle's ring that he always carried in his pocket.
A key on his uncle's...
Like a key ring.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, did we both figure that out at the same time?
Yeah, assume finger ring.
Yeah, and I thought, that's a stupid place to hang a
key. I always assume finger ring as well.
Yeah. So you say ring, you go, your grandfather's ring, on his finger.
Your grandfather's fingering.
Yeah. Or on his... Yeah, otherwise you say key ring.
Yeah. What, it's on his toe ring?
They had latterly and key ring.
Yeah.
That's the difference in the world. So very secretive, basically. He's found the way to open this box, something that he kept on his person at all times. Inside the box, the narrator found lots of newspaper clippings and ramblings, but also something very intriguing, a bas relief or small sculpture, which was a rough rectangle, less than an inch thick and about 5 by 6 inches in area, obviously of modern origin. And it had some sort of writing on it.
Okay.
And if you're confused by the measurements there, it's nearly half a subway foot long by a half subway foot long.
It's a decent size.
So, yeah.
It's pretty big.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Picturing one half big sandwich.
Yeah.
By nearly one half
big sandwich. Yeah, you've taken a small bite out of it just to taste it.
Yeah.
And then it's about the thickness of like a thick jalapeno.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great.
Actually, yes. Very much so.
Oh, I'm with you all the way. This is the most interesting thing you've said so far.
Now I'm peckish.
Well, it had some sort of writing on it, this bas relief / sculpture / sandwich.
You say Subway. Some sort of writing.
Yeah.
Was it eat fresh?
This is a quote. Above these apparent hieroglyphics, so that it's got hieroglyphics on it, was a figure of evident pictorial intent. Though its impressionistic execution forbade a very clear idea of its nature, it seemed to be a sort of monster or symbol representing a monster of form which only a diseased fancy could conceive. And he said it looked like an octopus, a dragon, and a human caricature all in one.
Okay, well, that's very confusing.
Mm.
An octopus, a human, and a dragon.
Yeah, it's a weird mashup.
Human, definitely the shittest of those three.
Yeah, almost a waste.
Yeah.
You're going to pick three. Come on.
Also, it had rudimentary wings.
Oh, my God, it's got wings? Okay. Oh, like a dragon.
Like a dragon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then underneath this, it accompanying the sculpture was written in clear letters, Cthulhu cult.
Oh. Cult, okay. Oh, like
cult, yeah, C-U-L-T, that kind of cult, yeah.
So I'm guessing...
Not your cult.
Oh.
Not probiotics.
Yeah, no.
Disappointing.
So what are you guessing?
So I'm just wondering, so is the cult followers, like human followers of the Cthulhu?
Yes,
or...
that's what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm picturing, unless the human part of him is his handwriting hand... Otherwise, I think, you know, dragons and octopus don't normally write English words.
No.
Or any words. I don't know why I specified English.
Yeah, they know the Arabic alphabet. Also, there was a note saying a young sculptor called Henry Anthony Wilcox, everyone's got three names here, had come to the professor with the mysterious item, with the sculpture. Wilcox was known as a bit of a genius, but also quite eccentric. When asked about the sculpture, the young man had told the professor, "It is new, indeed, for I made it last night in a dream of strange cities."
Okay, that doesn't mean anything.
So he's saying you
made... Are they all high?
Yeah.
He's saying you made it whilst asleep.
Dave, is this the kind of thing where everyone kind of talked like this in 1928 and languages has changed, or is this guy writing highfalutin on purpose?
Bit of falutin.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Shakespeare is a little bit like they talked back then, right? Languages changed. But this is pretty recent. And every sentence is so flowery.
It is.
And yeah. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
But I really do hope that he just spoke like this day to day. Not that he really went out and
he didn't
spoke
go
to
out
anyone.
Much. And that's evident in this writing. So there'd been an earthquake the night before when he apparently in his sleep made the sculpture.
Okay.
And Wilcox had gone to bed and dreamt of a mysterious city dripping with green ooze. Hieroglyphics had covered the walls and pillars, and Wilcox sensed a voice telling him, "Cthulhu, f-ka." It's F-H-T-A-G-N. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Can I also just ask, would you agree that green is the ideal colour of ooze?
Yeah, it's got to be green.
It's got to be green ooze.
Maybe yellow at a pinch,
do you think,
but green is
like
the
black?
Idea.
Ugh.
But purple ooze?
Yeah, I think the secret of the ooze for me is...
Is that green?
Keep it green.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. I know you're going to want to reinvent the wheel with this. Oh, yeah. You've coming up with a new line of ooze. Well, let me tell you, there's a reason green works.
Yeah. At most, if you want to update a little bit, put some glitter in it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So spots of other things in green.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have some purple glitter in there for sure.
For sure.
What about brown ooze?
That's no.
That's something else.
Okay, poos.
That's
secret
no
of the poos.
Yeah, just call a plumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secret of the poos is twisties and coke. That'll firm you right up. Because it shouldn't be in that formation, Dave.
So... this guy's come to him and said, "I had a dream.
Yeah.
I dreamt of this city. I could hear the word Cthulhu being said in my mind, and now I've sculpted this. What is going on?" The professor started researching and began to think that this Wilcox sculptor was part of a cult.
Okay.
but he claimed he wasn't. And he kept the professor informed of his dreams that for a period continued to have similar imagery.
God, is there anything more tedious than someone just telling you about their dreams? It happens to me every morning. And every morning it's not that interesting.
Are there recurring dreams?
Yeah, sometimes.
Right.
The fun thing about this is a fictional guy.
Yeah.
He's telling him about his fictional dreams. And this is what HP has come up with,
yeah.
A guy having dreams.
Yeah, and telling someone else about it.
Well, the other thing, so the guy kept telling him about his dreams. The other thing our narrator found in the box was correspondence between the professor and his friends about their dreams during the same period.
Oh.
So he basically sent out a survey about, hey, what have you been dreaming about recently?
Yeah, right. He's a fun friend.
And
yeah.
He mostly heard back from poets and artists, you know, people without jobs.
They had the time
nothing better
to go, thank you so much for asking.
Actually, this is what I was dreaming about last night. I got an easy bake oven.
And all my teeth fell out.
They called themselves the original dream team. Which was lame.
Yeah.
It was lame of them
so
to do.
So dumb.
Oh, I hate that they came up with that.
Yuck.
They suck.
We could have come up with something better. We won't.
I won't do it.
Dave's got a podcast to do, but yeah. I'm just saying.
And we I mean, this book's already been written, but
yeah,
if you gave me the chance, I'd come up with something way better than that.
So, and the intensity of the dreams were apparently, he could graph that they were stronger during the period of the sculptor's delirium.
Yeah.
So it was almost like something was going on collectively, like people having these weird dreams at the same time.
Right.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that happening to you? You know, are you waking up to those every morning,
well,
Jess?
I haven't sent out a chain email to anybody saying, hey, tell me about your dreams.
Any poets or anyone out there want to let me know about
the dreams? Anybody a bit bored?
Did you dream that you played in the Toyota AFL Grand Final last weekend? Because someone I know did.
Won't bloody shut up
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how strong the sponsorship is in his dreams.
Yeah. It's just that there's like the Coke sign everywhere. Yeah. It's crazy.
He wakes up and says, babe, I feel like a Coke.
Like you've never had a Coke, but and it's 8 a.m. But yeah, all right.
I dreamt I won the Norm Smith, so I deserve a Coke.
Yeah, deserve whatever I want. There was also a number of press cuttings that touched on cases of panic, mania, and eccentricity during the given period. All mysterious things that Fox Mulder would no doubt dub X-Files, tell Scully an absolutely insane theory that tie them all together and somehow be absolutely right.
And she would still say, I don't think that's
it, I don't know,
Mulder.
And also she'd get kidnapped 6 or 7 yeah. times.
Impregnated by an alien. Yeah. I don't know, Mulder.
When will she learn to trust him?
Oh, just trust him.
And trust herself. She must know deep down.
Yeah.
She had an alien baby, I think, didn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Something like that.
William.
Oh. She named him.
Strange. Yeah, it's not, you know, the alien parent didn't have much of a say in the name.
Blip, blop.
Yeah, we'll go with William. Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Blip, blop for a girl, William for a boy, okay? Fair deal.
Fair deal.
No, it's a boy.
Damn it.
So we're told there were lots of these clippings about mysterious X-Files, but we only get a couple of examples, which is, quote, a dispatch from California describes a colony as donning white robes en masse for some glorious fulfillment, which never arrived, whilst items from India speak guardedly of secret native unrest toward the end of March 22nd to 23. And there's all these different examples from around the world. And it's like, oh, why was he piecing those things together? Does that have anything to do with these weird dreams? And that is the end of part one.
Oh. Wow.
I love that. I love if you're going weird things happening in this short amount of time anywhere in the whole world, I reckon you're going to find some.
Yeah.
Whatever time period. But like Mulder, I assume this is going to actually all add up to something. Oh, it'd be real fun if the book ends with, honestly, just a lot of coincidences.
Yeah, yeah, crazy, huh? Really. Anyway.
I mean, he was 92. He was absolutely batshit.
But I also like that it's because it's a short story, it's just like, the word economy-wise, you don't have time to throw anything in there that isn't relevant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It's
That's
all going to come together.
This was in a magazine. It can't be
yeah.
that long.
Ah, great. I also love that. I love it short. I got a short attention span.
Yeah.
Me too. Part two, the tale of Inspector LaGrasse.
Ooh.
Ooh, love that.
Inspector LaGrasse.
Yeah.
He's a landscaper.
French for.
I come over, I Inspector LaGrasse.
I chop a LaGrasse.
I saw a Lagrasse. If you don't have a Lagrasse.
If you don't,
I also do La Flowers.
Yeah. If you don't pay, I'll put salt on the grass and nothing will ever grow again. So this is the quote that opens it. The older matters which had made the sculptor's dream and bas-relief so significant to my uncle formed the subject of the second half of his long manuscript. End quote. So once before, it appears Professor Engel had seen the hellish outlines of the nameless monstrosity and puzzled over unknown hieroglyphics and heard the ominous syllables which can be only rendered as Cthulhu back in 1908. So about 20 years earlier, he'd come across this creature before.
Oh.
This occurred at the American Archaeological Society annual meeting in St. Louis. He was approached by John Raymond Lagrasse. Came over with a whippersniffer.
You got any Lagrasse you need tending?
He was an inspector of police.
And grass.
He's only a constable of grass. He's waiting to get up there.
He'll get there. He'll get there. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. And he's passionate.
His reason for being there, a grotesque, repulsive, and apparently very ancient stone statuette whose origin he was at a loss to determine. He'd found the statuette in a raid a few months earlier from a supposed voodoo ceremony in New Orleans. They knew they'd stumbled onto a dark cult, but its members gave no information. But they did have this sculpture which attracted all the archaeologists at the meeting, and they passed it around, and it seemed to have some sort of weird power, like they're all like very fascinated by it. It represented a monster of vaguely anthropoid outline, but with an octopus-like head whose face was a mass of feelers, a scaly, rubbery-looking body, prodigious claws on hind and forefeet, and long, narrow wings behind.
Cannot picture it at all.
No, I'm picturing that. No. I mean, you lost me at anthropod.
Yeah.
What's that's the human part, is it?
Yeah, so it's like the...
Like a biped sort of thing?
like...
What is that? I'm not fully sure what it means. That's just like a humanoid thing, is it?
Yeah, so it's like a humanoid, but then it's got like an octopus head and big wings.
Okay. I'm almost picturing the...
And claws.
A movie I've never seen, but the bad guy in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Oh,
okay. That's the Kraken, probably. Oh.
Is he from Cthulhu?
No. But there are similarities.
Okay.
Keep that picture in your head then.
That'll do.
I think you're close enough, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do.
No one can tell
with
you.
Wings.
No one can see what you're imagining. So, therefore, no one can tell you you're wrong.
That's the beauty of it.
So thankful that they can't.
Yeah.
It's
mostly grass for me.
It's monkeys. A monkey and the symbols.
Yeah.
Wait, so anthropod. Is that even what you said?
Anthropoid.
Anthropoid. Hey, anthropoid.
I'm anthropoid in here.
And then octopus's head is sort of like an
octopus head with massive feelers. Yeah. And then overall it's like rubbery looking, but then it's got claws on its feet and small narrow wings behind it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty silly.
It sounds hot. Is it single?
If this is a monster, maybe this is all it needed, just a bit of positive feedback.
Yeah. Hey.
Everyone's always shrieking at it.
Yeah.
But maybe someone just needed to...
You're saying it's just horny.
Not necessarily horny, but maybe it's just lashing out at a world that doesn't understand it.
Yeah. Maybe it was just trying to order a coffee.
Yeah.
And nobody would take their order. Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, I just wanted a cup of joe.
Yeah. Someone needed to know that its appearance is not its value.
Mm.
That's true.
Mm.
What's inside the... That counts.
Are you crying?
No.
Matt, are we still talking about the Cthulhu?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you look emotional, but that doesn't mean maybe you've got tears in your eyes, and that looks like they're on my face because you're looking through your eyes of tears. But
yeah,
does it look like I've got really big tears on my face?
Yeah,
because that's just the tears on your face.
Oh, okay.
You're looking, they're up close to you, and it's a perspective trick. That's all.
I'm crying.
I'm not bawling really big tears out of my whole head. You are.
It's classic anthropoid behavior. So they're passing around this little statuette, and they knew it's old, but had no idea where it came from. Here were the world's experts in archaeology, and not a single one of them had any idea what the symbols along the sculpture could mean. That is, except for one man, Professor William Channing Webb.
Oh, my God.
Is this a new guy?
Willie Webb.
Yeah.
It really felt like it was going to be, you know, the guy we introduced you to. A new guy.
He stepped forward and said that 48 years earlier, he had been on a tour of Greenland and had come across an Inuit tribe that seemed to practice devil worship and sacrifices not commonplace for that part of the world. They danced around a figure that looked similar to what the police officer was showing the group.
Mm. 48 years earlier.
This film's going to have so many Hollywood leads.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So far, we've got DiCaprio.
Yep, he's in
Gyllenhaal.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He's in there. Cooper.
Yeah.
Bradley.
Well, LeGrasse, can he be Gerard Depardieu?
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
I insist. Not many women. In fact, none.
Yeah.
Here yet.
Yeah, what's up?
Big old boys' fest.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know the gender of the Cthulhu.
That's true.
That's right. Also, main character was secretly Meryl Streep all along.
Yes, Meryl.
So, she's that good.
That's really
she
good.
She is that good.
So, the archaeologists and the police officer swapped stories about the Inuits and New Orleans voodoo practice and discovered that they both chanted the same exact phrase, which I cannot pronounce to you.
Sure.
It is... The only word I can pronounce in there is Cthulhu, and that's in the middle of it.
Have a quick go, though, Dave.
Fing Lui Mau Nafa Cthulhu Riley Wagon Nagel Fakaton.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that I was just double checking. Yeah, obviously you'd remember that and know that someone else is doing the same chant.
Exact one. Exactly it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I heard it. It was the exact same. Riley.
I heard that 48 years ago. I heard it. Exact same.
Yeah, and I thought, I'll always remember that. That means something to me, each bit of that.
Yeah.
Well, Inspector LeGrasse was also told by one of the men that he arrested what it means, and it translates into English as, in his house at Riley Dead, Cthulhu waits dreaming.
Okay.
Mm. Wait, what language is that translating from?
Oh, from whatever they were chanting.
From the Cthulhu language.
We're not sure what the language is, but he asked one of these voodoo people that he thought they were practicing voodoo, what does that mean? And they said, in his house at Riley, dead. I don't know what that word is. It turns out to be a city. Cthulhu waits dreaming.
Okay.
So, yeah. He then explained what happened that day on the swamps of New Orleans. The police had been called after several children in the local community had disappeared in the area.
Oh, boy.
As LeGrasse, the cop, and 19 other men entered the forest, they heard terrible otherworldly noises and also that Cthulhu chant. Then they saw where the noise was coming from. Quote, four of them reeled, one fainted, and two were shaken into a frantic cry, which the mad cacophony of the orgy fortunately deadened.
Oh, okay. Things just hotted up.
LeGrasse dashed swamp water on the face of the fainting men, and all stood trembling and nearly hypnotized with horror.
I just feel bad because I did like an eyebrow raise to Matt, and now I feel creepy. But okay.
Now I felt right. In context.
Well, we're talking about an orgy.
Yeah, we're talking about a weird octopus orgy or whatever's going on here.
Oh, yeah. Well, they saw a small island with a monolith in the middle with a statue on top of it, surrounded by a bonfire and dead bodies of the disappeared locals.
Oh,
there's
no.
Some sort of ceremony happening. All the while, others were dancing around and chanting the Cthulhu chant. The police officers descended on them, guns drawn, and there was a fight in which five of the worshippers died. But most of them were eventually arrested, and their custom was explained by a man named Castro. And this is a long paragraph, but it sort of explains their beliefs. And that is, they worshipped, so they said, the great old ones who lived ages before there were any men and who came to the young world out of the sky. Those old ones were gone now, inside the earth and under the sea, but their dead bodies had told their secrets in dreams to the first men, who formed a cult which had never died. This was that cult, and the prisoners said it had always existed and would always exist, hidden in distant washes and dark places all over the world until the time came when the great priest Cthulhu, from his dark house in the mighty city of Riley under the waters, should rise and bring the earth again beneath his sway.
Okay. So Riley, so Cthulhu lives under the sea.
Under does he?
Mm. It's better where down where it's wetter.
Yeah. Take it from me.
But apparently, it's coming back one day.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So it's just classic. This is just another classic religion. Just sounds like most religions have some story like this.
Some sort of swamp monster is ready to rise up.
Or other, you know, it's not always a swamp monster, usually. But sometimes...
yeah, 98% of world's religions.
Sometimes it's something else. But yeah, that's cool. All right. Yeah, because until he was coming back, I'm like, this is lame. Imagine your cult being built around a dead thing's dreams. Yuck. But he's coming back.
At some undisclosed time. Yeah.
That's right.
From his dark house in Riley.
Yep.
A real place.
Maybe he's just got a migraine. Needs to go lie down in a dark house for a bit.
Sometimes that's all you can do.
Been there.
And time, you know, we didn't like it's time might be different. You know, a fly lives its whole life in a day.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, for that octopus, woman, man, or whatever, we don't know, dragon. Yeah, maybe one day is 1 second. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
There's
no way we can find out, Dave, unless you've got a direct line to this beast.
I do. 1-800-Cthulhu.
Get on the blower.
Yeah, let's
Costs $7.95 a minute.
And it's a minute their time, so it's a year.
Oh, my God.
Of our time.
It's going to cost $280,000.
Yeah, that's. I hadn't considered that. That adds up pretty quick.
So having now read two... So remember, this guy has discovered the box and this is another story that's in there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So having now read two accounts through his uncle's writing, our narrator Thurston was intrigued. He visited Wilcox, who's the sculptor that had been having the weird dreams at the start of the story and had sculpted the thing in his dream. And then he visited LaGrasse, the police officer in New Orleans, sort of to corroborate this story. And then he thought he was onto something. He's like, I think my uncle was onto a secret religion here. And he says, my attitude was still one of absolute materialism, as I wish it still were, but he was now starting to believe.
Wow. Isn't it funny, like, just the idea of being onto a secret religion? It's like let him be. Who cares? Yeah. Well,
you don't need to know.
Yeah. If they want it to be a secret, just leave him be. Oh, it's going to be a monster coming to take over the world? All right, maybe we should ask a few more questions.
All right, then.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have a date? He writes, one thing I began to suspect, and which now I fear I know, is that my uncle's death was far from natural.
Oh, he's 92.
I think Professor...
And he walked up a hill.
I think he died because he knew too much, or because he was likely to learn too much. Whether I shall go as he did remains to be seen, for I have now learnt as much. Mate, he was 92.
You have not learnt as much. You've just read some of his notes.
Mm-hmm.
He still knew more than you.
Yeah. He didn't write down everything he ever knew.
Okay.
Did he?
That would be so tedious.
Did it say that at the top? Here's everything I've ever known. Here's every thought I've ever had.
Okay. Oh, is that salt? Hang on, I'll just taste it. Nope, that's the sugar bowl. So the other one must be salt. Some of our thoughts are very dull.
Yeah, but I promise I'm writing them all down, including these. Full stream of consciousness for like
his whole life.
Yeah. This is incredibly
well. That is basically what Lovecraft did. Because if you remember, I told you about that he wrote 100,000 letters in his life, and he found that his best way of communicating.
It was it was like 13 letters a day or something.
Well, if I'd averaged it out, he wrote that.
Wow, I didn't realize 13. That's badass. That's a horror man for sure.
Well, that is the end of part two.
Oh, we're nearing the end and I still don't follow. go on.
Well, let me just tell you that this week's episode of Book Cheat is brought to you by Audible. Audible, of course, being the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks. I'm talking bestsellers, memoirs, news, business, self-development, and of course, classic literature. If you're an Audible member like I am, you get a credit every month to pick any title, any of those news, business, self-development stuff, plus two Audible originals, and you can listen to that anywhere you listen to this podcast, which I assume is underwater.
Is that true?
That is true. There is heaps of H.P. Lovecraft on there, including three different versions of the story we're covering, The Call of Cthulhu. The one I'd suggest is Call of Cthulhu and Other Stories, narrated by William Roberts. You get the story we're talking about this week and many more. Some of them are just standalone. You want bang for your buck for your month.
Mm.
And William Roberts, soothing voice.
Okay, great.
Who's William Roberts again?
Terrifying story, but just has a beautiful voice.
Great. I'm also on the Audible train. And they do free ones. I got a message say, oh, this one's free this month. I'm like, I'll take it. I might listen to that down the track. I've been into, you didn't ask, but I'm answering anyway. I've been listening to, I think it was a free one a few months ago, Bill Bryson's A Small History of Nearly Everything or something like that. I've been fascinated. I've been loving it. And I feel like it might be read by someone who, it's not read by Bill Bryson. It's read by maybe someone who's got a name like the guy you just said. What was the guy you said?
William Roberts.
William Roberts. It might even be him.
I got to tell you this voice. It's soothing.
Whoever it is has got a great voice anyway.
The voice puts you to sleep, but then the subject matter keeps you awake forever.
Yeah, great.
Because it is horrifying. So if you'd like to get started with Audible, you can go to audible.com/bookcheat or text bookcheat to 500-500. One more time, go to audible.com/bookcheat or text bookcheat to 500-500 and get started today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Now it's time for part three, the final part.
The final countdown.
And that title of part three is...
The Final Countdown.
The Final Countdown, in brackets, The Madness.
Oh.
Illusions. Part three, The Madness from the Sea.
Oh, no.
You like that?
No, I don't.
Chapter 3, The Madness from the Sea.
And this, the audible version of this that I like to read, is read by a hobgoblin.
But C is spelled S-double-E.
Yeah.
The Sea.
The Madness from the Sea. See you. See me. See me.
And he's just like, what?
Yeah, looking at you going, can I go now?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to get past. Yeah.
Sorry, you've got my keys, can I have them? Ooh, answer me this riddles three. Can I just have my keys? I'm running late for an appointment.
I don't know who you are. Why are you in my apartment?
Get the hell
honestly,
out.
You've been a bit of a pest, mate. I'm sorry, just trying to make an impression, see?
Speaking of impressions.
He's just trying to make a friend. I'm sorry, I don't get out alone.
What are you doing at three? Perhaps coffee, you and me. No.
Who has coffee at 3 o'clock? No, come on, honestly.
I won't sleep all night. So in this final part, our narrator Thurston had mostly given up on investigating what his uncle had dubbed the Cthulhu cult. When one day, completely by chance, he spied a newspaper that his friend was using to store an exhibit for a museum. He's got lots of friends that are archaeologists. Yeah, so he's like, oh, what's that on the shelf? Just something was wrapped up in a newspaper. It just caught his eye. It was from a newspaper called the Sydney Bulletin,
ooh,
an Australian publication.
We had publications in 1928?
Wow. I said we're from Sydney. I mean, we're from Australia.
We're not from Sydney.
We're not from Sydney.
No.
It's a slightly different, it's like a sunny Melbourne,
yeah,
for those who don't know.
Oh, okay.
With a beautiful bay.
Gorgeous. Harbour.
Ooh. Yeah.
Harbour. And an image really caught his eye in the clipping. It said, well, this is what it says to describe it. The picture was half-tone, cut of a hideous stone image, almost identical with that which Legrasse had found in the swamp. So he's like, I recognise that.
In Australia?
Yeah. And the article read, Mystery Derelict Found at Sea.
This is feeling a bit goblin-y again.
Mystery Derelict Found at Sea. So, and this is, I mean... They don't write them like this anymore. This is good stuff. Jess, you've studied journalism. Uh-huh. What do you think about this?
Okay.
Vigilant arrives with helpless armed New Zealand yacht in tow. One survivor and dead man found aboard.
Well, there's your first problem. If it bleeds, it leads. One man is dead and another has survived. That's how that should open.
This is good stuff. Tale of desperate battle and deaths at sea. Yeah. Should have opened with that. That sounds
absolutely
good.
Yes.
Should have deaths at sea and desperate battle.
That's the
battle
subheading right there, yeah.
Mm.
Gosh.
Rescued seaman refuses particulars of strange experience. Odd idol found in his possession. Inquiry to follow.
Stop.
It does sound like a stop, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You've been very efficient with words here.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So what has happened there is a yacht called the Alert had been towed into Darling Harbour in Sydney. Had one survivor who was, quote, clutching a horrible stone idol of unknown origin about a foot in height, regarding whose nature authorities at Sydney University, the Royal Society and the museum in College Street all profess complete bafflement, and which the survivor says he found in the cabin of the yacht in a small carved shrine of common pattern. So he's found this. And now he's been towed into Sydney Harbour. The survivor was Gustav Johansson, a Norwegian man who told a crazy tale of piracy and slaughter. He'd been on another ship with 11 men when they got caught in a storm before encountering a yacht called the Alert.
The Alert.
Yeah. Not a great name for a yacht.
Yeah, it's a weird name for a boat.
Hmm.
Maybe the stop sign.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah
a bit better.
The give way.
The yield.
The yield.
Oh, that's good.
The Alert. That sucks.
The slippery one wet.
Yes.
It's probably true.
That's good for a boat. Yeah. Yeah. That's something you don't think about boats. They're probably slippery when they're wet. They're slipping their way through the ocean.
Yeah. I mean, if they're not
you
slipping.
You don't think of it. You think about it's floating, but really, it's just slipping on top of the water.
That's slipping.
Imagine being a boat and you're doing that forever.
Yeah,
that feeling of falling, like you're about to fall, that adrenaline.
Oh
my God, it'd be exhausting.
Me. What's going to happen? I'm a fraud. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's trying to hang on to things, but there's nothing because they're nothing on the ocean.
Oh my God.
There's nothing out there.
That's a fun idea.
Slipping. Well, the Alert was weaponized and this yacht had opened fire on Johansson and his 11 crew for no reason. The ship that Johansson was on board began sinking after being shot below the waterline, but not before pulling alongside the yacht that was firing upon them, and they managed to bail on their ship and get onto the yacht as it was going down.
Jump onto the where people are shooting at
them. Yeah, people are shooting at you. And that
doesn't feel great.
No, I wouldn't. I guess you don't have many options.
Yeah, good point. But still, out of principle, I'd be like, well, fine.
Yeah,
fine
just
then.
Like,
down
just
I go.
Just going down with the ship, saluting as you're slowly sinking.
No, I'd
sinking
flipping them off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They just shot me down for no reason.
Saluting.
The one finger salute.
We've got to remember that this is the lone survivor's tale. So can you trust this guy? But apparently they jumped ship onto the ship that was attacking them. They had to kill the crew of the Alert, he says, as they outnumbered them, so they were able to do so. Although they did suffer 3 casualties of their own. So Johansson and 7 of his men survived, took over this new yacht.
Right.
They decided to continue on their journey to see why the Alert didn't want them in the area. They were like, that was weird that we got attacked here. Maybe we're onto something. And they found a small island, although this island was unmapped and completely unknown to sailors.
Oh, it was Tasmania. Yeah.
Well, it could have been.
Yeah.
Well, they made it onto the island where 6 of the 8 men died.
Straight away.
Well, Johansson in the articles was cagey and didn't really say what happened to them, alluding to them falling in a rock chasm.
We got there, they died. Yeah. Stop asking questions
Stop
about it, all right?
It was chasm related, okay?
So all 6 of them. It's like one slipped and another tried to help and then it was just like a dominoes thing.
Mm. No, 6 separate chasms.
Oh my God.
You think we'd stop walking in the dark, but we just kept going. The 2 survivors, including Johansson, got back on the yacht before being bashed by a storm, and that's when they were rescued and taken into Darling Harbour. Although Johansson couldn't remember when his shipmate had died because they found Johansson alive in a dead body, and there was no apparent cause of death. Quote, probably due to excitement or exposure. You know when you die of excitement?
Yeah, that happens. Sometimes I'm close.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoop, nearly died. Because I saw a dog.
I just thought about a dog. Ooh, close call.
So this storm, the earthquake in the USA I mentioned at the start of the story, multiple people having bad dreams, and the sculptor making the image of Cthulhu in his sleep had all happened in the same time period.
Oh.
Around the world.
What are the odds of that?
What are the odds?
What are the odds of things happening?
Wow.
Right now. Like, okay, so right now we are sitting in a room doing a podcast. Imagine if, like, somewhere else in the world, something else was happening.
What? Another podcast is being recorded at this very moment?
No, just, like, anything else happening. Wow.
While we're talking about weird stuff happening, imagine if someone out on a boat slipped.
Slipping away.
Well, that's, you guys are tripping me out right
that's
now.
That's fucking crazy. I'm scared.
So it's all very mysterious.
Yes, that's and what we're agreeing.
Our narrator Thurston was starting to put it all together, but he wanted to get more first-hand info, so he travelled to Dunedin in New Zealand, where the yacht was originally from.
Yeah, I wonder if he attended the NZ's.
Yeah.
It's the hottest ticket of the year. Yeah.
Special guest.
Do you have any New Zealand listeners who will be annoyed that I don't know what their TV awards show is called? I can look it up before the end if you like.
Yeah.
Just to stop you getting all that hate mail.
What is that? They've got a comedy award. Is it called
Billy
T or something?
Yeah.
The Billy T Award, yes. Yeah. That's the only one I know of. And also probably the NZ's. So he went to Dunedin to find out more about the ship, although he didn't find out much about the so-called pirates, other than they seem to be part of a strange cult.
Okay, now we're talking.
They're the people that had opened fire on the Norwegian guy's ship for no reason. So apparently they were cult members. So he left Dunedin. Then he went to Sydney and Circular Quay and visited the stone symbol, which had been displayed in a museum at Hyde Park.
Okay. Oh, he's looked at a map for
sure. Yeah, he's doing well.
Huh? Oh, I've opened up the atlas. Don't you worry about that. Oh,
they've got a Hyde Park. Okay.
He also found that Johansson, the sole survivor, had sold his house in Sydney and returned to Norway after his hair had turned white from fear.
Okay. Now, this is the first thing that I reckon you go, this is real weird. Someone's hair changing colour instantly. That doesn't happen every day.
No.
Dave, does they say it happened instantly, or would it have been something that, say, happened over the period of like 20 years between the age of 50 and 70, for example?
Completely white in the last 20
years. And he's like, oh, I'm spooked.
Yeah, he's like, hang on a second. My 92-year-old uncle also had white hair. Suspicious.
He spoke to his hairdresser and asked them to slowly slowly cut the dye out so that it was a gradual change so that no one realised that he'd been spooked.
Yeah, but he's like, hang on. He dyed his hair blonde. He must have been having a midlife crisis brought on by some sort of monster.
Has to be fear.
So our storyteller, he's like, well, Johansson's left Sydney and gone to Norway. I've got to go meet him. So then he went to Norway, keeping in mind all of this travel is by ship. So it would have taken forever. He's gone from America to New Zealand to Australia to Norway.
Yeah, it's that's not like, the most direct route.
That's like 6 months on a ship.
Yeah.
He found Sailor Johansson's wife, who told him that her husband was dead and he died in mysterious circumstances.
Fear.
He was 98.
This is the most suspicious one so far. Quote, a bundle of papers falling from an attic window had knocked him down.
A bundle of paper. He must have been old if some papers knocked him over.
Knocked me down with a feather.
Two Lascar sailors at once helped him to his feet, but before the ambulance could reach him, he was dead.
Paper cuts.
Yeah, wow.
So he got up.
He bled out.
He got up after being hit by some paper.
I mean, it could have been like a 2-ton delivery of like ream paper or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It could have been like those real big pages, like in the what do they call those huge books? Double elephants?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was a double elephant.
Could have also been confetti.
Oh, yeah.
Just tiny little circles
bits of paper.
Of tissue paper.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, now that we're speculating, it could be.
It could have been confetti.
Could have been confetti.
I mean, 2 tons of paper weighs the same as 2 tons of bricks, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I think you're mistaken. That sounds ridiculous.
That doesn't add up.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Paper as heavy as bricks?
I don't know.
Look, now I say it out loud, I feel like an idiot.
How does that work? I don't know. But I've been told it does.
Help.
Fuck, you need a lot of confetti for 2 tons worth, hey?
Like, a lot.
So much confetti. What a way to go. Oh.
That's like an Olympic opening ceremony worthy of confetti.
Okay. Imagine shooting that into the sun.
Yes. Now I want to be shot into the sun, but with some confetti,
a
please.
A ton of it.
Wow, okay. This list gets longer and
cannons.
Longer.
We'll just hope confetti you die cannons? First then.
We're going to have to... Yeah, I do. I do. Mostly for administration reasons. How many... Well, this list, my God, I'm going to die first, leaving Matt to deal with Jess and her death.
All right.
It seems reasonable.
Just put me in the river.
Which one?
Oh, just river.
It ends up being like a bigger deal. Like, I got to figure out which
one. He wants to go to the Amazon?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, put me in the Amazon. Chuck me in the Tiber. Got to go to Rome, oh, for God's sake. So, your Hansen had kept a notebook. This is the Norwegian guy.
Yes.
Bit of a diary. He'd written it in English, so his wife, who didn't speak English, couldn't read it.
Classic.
Bit of a secret, you know.
Dear diary.
Dear diary.
My wife is such a bitch.
No.
Just kidding. I love her so much.
But I could never tell her that because I'm a man of the 1920s. But she was happy to share it with this stranger who'd come from America.
What if he was just writing really gross stuff in there?
Like really sexy novels or something.
Yeah. What if he was just tracking his poos or something?
Secret of the poos.
And she's like, is there any information in this? It's like, no, he was quite regular. Wow. Did he get a lot of fiber? That's great.
I mean, one day it was quite big, but that was the only thing.
Yeah, that's about it. It seemed like the day before he'd had a big meal.
He wrote it in all caps. Whoa, you wouldn't believe it. It's so big.
That was a big shit.
Boy, it was about as long as a half a Subway foot long. And about the width
of half a Subway foot long.
Oh, my God.
It was a cube. Oh my. I shat a cube.
How did it get out?
I think I'm the first man in history to shit a cube.
It was the thickness of a slice of jalapeno.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
So, in between the poo diary, it actually recalled what happened on the voyage that had killed his shipmates.
Yes, right.
They'd been attacked by the yacht and taken it over. Remember that's what happened? Took it over. And then they kept going. The men sight a great stone pillar sticking out of the sea and come upon a coastline of mingled mud, ooze. Doesn't say what colour, but we can assume
green.
And weedy cyclopean masonry, which can be nothing less than the tangible substance of Earth's supreme terror, the nightmare corpse city of Riley.
Oh.
That was built in measureless eons behind history by the vast, loathsome shapes that seeped down dark from the stars. There lay great Cthulhu and his hordes. Matt is, he's trying to imagine it. I've broken his mind.
I'm watching Matt try to understand. I'm also not. But also, is Johansson writing it like this? Or is this HP?
This is HP. Well, this is Thurston recalling.
Yeah. Because if this is Johansson and English is not his first language, my God, he is eloquent.
He's good. So eloquent that we don't understand.
I don't get it.
So basically, he's seen this city.
Yeah.
They've come across the city and there lay great Cthulhu and his hordes hidden in green slimy vaults. There you go.
Wow. He found Cthulhu.
It says here, he had trouble describing the city.
Mm.
We had a crack. Aghast at the, quote, non-Euclidean geometry.
Oh, my God.
A thing we discussed in the Dugo One episode that was one of Lovecraft's many, many phobias was non-Euclidean geometry. And now this guy's seen it. He must be terrified.
Yeah.
Packing his dacks.
Oh, my God.
Day 10, diarrhea that night.
Because of the non-Euclidean.
Non-Euclidean. They soon realised that they'd opened a monstrously carven portal. They've opened a portal, people.
Wow. Okay.
Into this Riley city.
How?
Not a portal, Lou.
How'd they open the portal? They didn't even know.
Yeah, well, they just came across it and they're like, what the hell's going on here? Obviously, that's what the people on the cult members of the yacht were trying to... That's why they attacked him, to try and be like, stay away from this area.
Yeah.
Right.
You're about to come across an ancient city.
We don't want you to get harmed. So we'll shoot you.
We'll kill you. We'll shoot down your boat.
So this is a portal and that goes through to some intergalactic thing.
Well, into this deep dark city that's below the ocean type thing.
Right.
That's coming up. And then this is what happens next. Then they saw the thing. It was so scary that two men died of fright. A mountain walked. That's how big this thing is.
Whoa.
It's the size of a mountain. The narrator writes, after vintillions of years.
What?
A word I'm sure probably doesn't exist. Great Cthulhu was loose again and ravening for delight. Three men were swept up by the flabby claws before anybody turned. So it's just killed two men. And two have died from fright. So five men are gone. Out of eight. It was huge. Johansson and the other man and one other man made it back to the boat. But Cthulhu slid into the water to chase after them. Looking back, the other man, Britton, went mad and eventually died one night in the cabin. Remember how he didn't describe... He was like, I don't know how any one of these men died. That's because he didn't want to say that a monster had killed them and that another man had died of insanity.
Wow, okay.
So he's in the boat. Cthulhu's got in the water and it's swimming after them. It's like Thorpe gaining on them.
Oh, God, if Thorpe's coming for you, you're fucked.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, those big torpedo feet. Mm. But Johansson knew that the monster could surely outrun them, so he decided to take a big, big chance. He threw the boat full steam into reverse and drove backwards towards Cthulhu in the water. He rammed the creature right in its head.
Yeah, that's where you want to get him.
Oh, yeah. Quote, there was a bursting as of an exploding bladder.
Oh, ew. It popped
Cthulhu's. It. Yeah. A slushy nastiness as of a cloven sunfish. A stench as of a thousand opened graves.
Ew.
And a sound that the chronicler could not even put on paper. Green stuff.
It's hard to put sounds on paper.
Yeah, it is. I've tried. Plop. Green stuff flew everywhere.
Yeah.
Probably ooze.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like.
The ship sailed onto safety, but Johansson saw that the creature was recombining. So it was healing. Terminator 2 style.
Yeah.
Right. That's where they got it.
Is that
from
your favourite Terminator?
Oh, yeah.
Love Am it. I remembering correctly? Yeah.
Probably my favourite film of all time.
That's pretty wild. You've got real individual taste. Your favourite Terminator is Terminator 2.
Yeah.
You mad dog.
Crazy. Well, some people do love number one.
Yeah, right. But no one loves. No one would have any of the others as their favourite.
Well, Terminator Salvation. You need to find Salvation. If that's your opinion.
I haven't seen any of them.
No, neither. Great. Well, they sound great.
Start with one, then go to two.
Okay.
It's conventional, but do it.
You go okay. Start at the beginning?
Yep. So anyway, he's smashed into Cthulhu's head, exploded it. He's outrun him, luckily, but he's looked back and he can see that the creature is healing. So he knows that Cthulhu is not dead. But eventually, Johansson, the Norwegian sailor, was rescued. Our narrator telling us this whole story finishes by telling us that he's put Johansson's account into his uncle's tin box with the other documents in the sculpture. But he's now worried for his own safety. Quote, I have looked upon all the universe has to hold of horror, and even the skies of spring and the flowers of summer must ever afterward be poison to me. But I do not think my life will be long, as my uncle went, as Paul Johansson went, so I shall go. I know too much, and the cult still lives. He knows that Cthulhu lives on and that he may rise again one day. And the final line of this story is, quote, a time will come, but I must not and cannot think. Let me pray that, if I do not survive this manuscript, my executors may put caution before audacity and see that it meets no other eye.
Oh.
End book. So he's like, I hope no one reads this. But it's like, well, we just read it.
Yeah.
Then you know.
You know too much.
Yeah.
So I may have inadvertently cursed myself and you and everyone listening to this by reading it out.
We didn't read it all though, so.
Yeah, only, but I did.
Only you've fully cursed.
Oh no.
And honestly, I didn't follow a lot of it. Yeah. So I think the cult would be like, she's safe.
They quizzed you on it. You're like, I don't know.
Well, who's Dave? Yeah.
Had small wings.
What?
Describe Cthulhu. What?
What's
what
Cthulhu?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Something about ooze?
I think, and they'd be like, just leave her.
She's all right.
She's all right.
She doesn't know.
She's all right, that one.
I feel like not a lot really happened in that story.
Yeah, it was all about, it was more of a mystery sort of thing than a...
Yeah.
It was literally about a man rifling through an old man's stuff, having a read.
Mm.
We've all done that.
Oh, yeah.
But then he also, but then he went to Dunedin. That's and, true, and Sydney. Yeah.
He went travelling.
What do you call those books that are about, being read through other books?
That's called an epistolary novel.
Was this full epistolary?
No, not full epistolary, because it's him recounting stuff, so you don't actually read. It's right. Like epistolary, when it goes full into that, it's like a diary.
Yep. Oh, so yeah, we never read the diary.
Yeah, it's him recounting someone else's notes and stuff, yeah.
Mm.
So it's semi-epistolary, I think you could call it.
Yeah, okay.
One day I might write an epistolary book where I just go, hey, I found this book called The Call of the Cthulhu. And this is what it said.
And then I picked it up. Page one.
What are you going to call that book?
Matt Recalls of the Cthulhu.
That's actually pretty good,
that's
Dave.
That's good.
Dave.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I think I found next week's episode.
Matt has to come back in and recall this week's episode. And it's
so this main character, the mysterious man, Matt. We don't know much about him.
Except that he's a massive babe. And
all it says at the start is, anyway, everyone knows I'm real hot.
Everyone knows I'm real hot.
Everyone says it, everyone thinks it, everyone knows it.
It's boring to me, but...
It's not my value, you know, but yeah. I am...
If you needed someone a picture.
Incredibly hot.
Picture real hot.
Picture the hottest man you've ever seen and then like double it.
Double it.
Double it minimum.
At least. And that's me being humble.
Yeah. I don't like to brag, so I won't. But I could.
If I wanted.
Because I'm real good at that too.
Also, I could beat your dad in a fight.
Easy. I am your dad.
I am your dad.
I'll beat myself in a fight.
Whatever. Only person who could beat me.
Easy. I know my own weaknesses and they are... None.
None. Sometimes too polite.
Honestly, I care too much. It turns into a job interview. It's just a stream of consciousness and it's not good.
I quite like that, Dave.
Yeah, but what do you think?
I never know if it's just your retelling or what, because I tend to enjoy the books you recount to me on this show. But yeah, I thought it was good. I was in it. There were parts that I didn't understand what he was talking about. But for the most part, thought it was pretty intriguing. And yeah, when he recombined, that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, how does this guy get away? This is like the most superior being on the earth.
Yeah.
The most superior. That's no good. But anyway, how does one man outrun it? And so it needed to be something. And that was kind of fun that he exploded it.
Yeah.
And then it reformed with ooze. That's pretty cool.
What about, so this is the most acclaimed horror writer of the last century. Did you find yourself scared?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm neither did scared. I, to be honest.
Sorry.
But I think horror changes, like, you know, we've had some pretty full-on horror films come out since 1928. So
yeah, that's fair.
Maybe that's what's changed it. Maybe since the Blair Witch Project came out.
Oh my God, so scared, eh?
That was sort of like an epistolary movie.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Which I've never seen, but...
I saw bits of it at a family friend's house.
It gave me a bit of a headache.
Yeah.
From the shaky camera.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
What, the family friend's house you saw a bit?
Yeah, just from, like, peeking over the back of the couch while the older kids were watching it. And I was like, this is not for me. I was like, I'm going to go see what my mum is doing. Because this is too much for me.
Yeah, people once watched Jeepers Creepers at a birthday party I was at. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to go in the backyard for a bit. It's a bit too much for me.
Did I get by yourself?
Yeah. You know, played like totem tennis or something. Yeah.
Walked into a spider's web.
So usually we score it out of 5, okay. If you don't mind. How are you feeling about this? You can love it, you can hate it, you can be ambivalent about it. What do you think?
I'm a little indifferent. I'm gonna say like 3.
Okay, 3 out of 5, that's not bad, but...
But I wasn't like, I'm going to read... Because sometimes I come on this podcast and I haven't read the book and then you tell me about it. I'm like, I might read that. I haven't yet to anything, but I don't
It's hard when you know how, like, the full story. It kind of feels like, nah, I'm not going to go read it all. Maybe read one of their other ones.
Yeah, that's
fair. Yeah, right. You like their style, maybe.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Matt?
I enjoyed it enough, but yeah, it's somewhere in the in the low threes, maybe 3.2.
3.2, love that. 3.2 out of 5. I'm also going to go pretty low for me, which is about, I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the way it was told, because it is interesting, like having, it's little bits of newspapers, it's little bits of this.
Yeah.
So that was quite interesting. But for the most part, didn't grip me too much.
Yeah, right. I'm not gripped and I'm not scared, which is, for a horror, I think, the outcome you're going for. Scared.
Yeah, right. It seems like it sort of used the suspense and stuff as maybe that was, but I guess I didn't have to read through the whole thing.
Yeah, but even when I was reading through part three, even the climactic bit of like him smashing into the monster's face, there was only a couple of paragraphs.
Yep.
Wasn't that much more than what I read out then, so... Like, yeah, it was a cool idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I like some of the ideas and the ooze being green, which is great. You know, I like it like that.
And it feels quite ahead of its time.
Yeah. You know? Sounds like it's super influential, right?
Yeah.
Yes, very influential. And then from this, there's like the whole mythos, which has lots of these gods.
It's funny when you've read or seen things that are inspired by the original text, that the original feels a bit hacky compared to it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's because if it didn't exist, you wouldn't, all these things you've seen since. So it's hard to compare it to. Like, you read this in 1928, you're like, oh yeah, fuck.
Yeah. Whoa, this is full on.
Sort of got to try and give it some context. But people do still read it now and love it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I imagine a lot of people listening right now, if they handled your... I mean, 3 out of 5 is still a decent score.
Yeah, I'm not telling you. It's not hack.
Yeah.
But no, it's those are Matt's words, if anybody is angered.
Yeah, that's right. Tweet at Matt. But yes, again, if you haven't heard it, we did really go into the detail of H.P. Lovecraft's life, which was fascinating. And you can check that out on the Do Go On feed. But there's only one thing left to do, and that is people support the show on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And they support not only this show, but our show, Do Go On. And also, our other spin-off shows, which include Primates, where Matt is going through Umbrella Academy Season 2 at the moment with Evan.
Yeah, so Evan from Gamey Game, or other things that I call it on the show, Jiminy James show or whatever. But it's, the Umbrella Academy, a Netflix series based on a comic book series by... Gerard Way. I was calling him Jared Way, and a few people told me that is not how you pronounce his name.
Gerard.
Yeah.
But you think you're confident you're saying Way, right?
No. I'm not. Since I got a few messages about that, I haven't been confident of anything anymore. But yeah, so it's a series on Netflix. You've probably seen it, have you?
Yeah, I've seen the first season.
And it's sort of like a bit of a fun take on the superhero story. Yeah. And yeah, we're into halfway through season 2, and I'm watching them as we record them. So I'll be watching episode 5 in a couple of days. Looking forward to that. I'm loving second season, but I love the first season too. So we've gone through every episode so far. So there's about 14 episodes on that. And before that, every week was about a different primate in popular culture. The Umbrella Academy features a couple. One's like especially in the first season. There's a chimp butler
named, he's great.
Phineas Pogo. And there's also one of the main superheroes is an ape man.
Yeah.
Got the body of an ape and the head of a man.
I guess the real question is, what's better, a chimp or robot butler?
I'd have to go with chimp.
Okay. Yeah, chimp, I reckon.
Because there's also a robot nanny, kind of.
Yeah.
In the show as well, so you can compare and contrast.
What's better, a chimp or robot nanny?
Okay, I'm going to go with the robot nanny. She's amazing. Yeah.
You might not trust the chimp with the young children.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
but you would trust them with your breakfast.
Yeah. They're not going to spit in your breakfast. They might rip off your kid's limbs. Yeah. So.
And we don't know of any robots that can do such things.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you haven't seen Terminator 2, but that will change your life. So if you want to support those shows and this one, you go to patreon.com/dogoonpod and we put out 3 bonus episodes every single month on there. You can also be in our Facebook group. We put out a newsletter where I announce the books in advance and, yeah, all sorts of little rewards. But one thing I do is I like to thank a few people and they tell me their favourite book.
Oh, great.
If you wouldn't mind, I'll read out. These are our beautiful Patreon supporters.
I don't mind, but I will not be contributing.
Oh, that's fine. You can sit there quietly if you like.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking, Dave, while we've got them, the listeners, what are some of the other do-go-on book ones we've done? We've done a bunch now over the time.
Yes, we've done...
You did another horror writer not too long ago, which directly linked to The Raven on this show.
Yes, Edgar Allan Poe.
The guy who did The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, we've done Tolkien. We've done The Life of William Shakespeare. Yep.
Done Rowling or we've, Rowling.
Yeah, from Harry Potter. And we've also done The Mysterious Disappearance of Agatha Christie.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
She also touched on much of her life, but also the period where she disappeared for a time.
So if you're a book lover, I mean, we do all sorts of other topics as well. There's murderers or famous entertainers.
Disasters,
mysteries. Disasters in the air, on the sea, great explorers.
Explorers.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was really exploring my way through that word.
So, please get involved if you can. That would be fantastic. Check out Do Go On. And also, thank you very much to these people for supporting the show directly on Patreon. First of all, this week, I've got Adrian Hernandez Arista, who says... I'd ever been meaning to tell you my favourite book for a while, but I always seem to forget to do it. Better late than never.
Absolutely.
My favourite book is Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller.
Oh, haven't you done that on this show?
I haven't done it yet.
You did another Arthur Miller. Have you done No Arthur Miller?
I've done No Arthur Miller.
You talked about that, I reckon, with maybe Zach and Mish or someone like
so
that.
Yes, so the big three of the great American plays of the 20th century, often said to be A Streetcar Named Desire, which I did last week. A Long Day's Journey Into Night by Eugene O'Neill and Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller, which is a fantastic play, and I promise I'll get to it. And Adrian says, I first read it in high school and have reread it a few times. It's probably as tragic as Long Day's Journey Into Night, so it's a perfect opportunity to bring back Mish and Zach. I don't really want to give away much because I hope one day to listen to your take on it, and books forever! Thanks, Adrian. Yeah, it's been I've been getting a few actory types on to do plays
smart.
Like
that. Yeah, so, great. That's very smart.
Last week was Michelle and Ben.
But yeah, that's fun.
Well, Jess was drama captain.
Yeah.
She's that's basically true. A dramaturg.
And Matt is acting all the time.
Yeah.
He doesn't even sound like that in real life.
I'm acting out.
What do you really sound like? Just give us a glimpse.
He's a hobgoblin.
I like fish.
He's a hobgoblin who loves fish. And that's why we don't let the real Matt on podcasts. It's all he does is talk about fish.
one of my favourite bands is called, I think is named after that play, The Dead Salesman. Which is very clever. Yeah, I know a few references.
That's pretty good.
I got a message here from Samuel Ward here. He says, shout out today because this is actually how I found Do Go On. Have not even listened to one episode yet because I'm catching up on Do Go On in order. Fantastic. My favourite book is hard. Let's say The Lord of the Rings trilogy. I also love this. I found Book Cheat because I was and now have started a similar podcast called In Summary. Similar to yours. Anyway, cheers.
Samuel. Oh, you've got a new arch nemesis.
So hang on.
I haven't listened.
Your podcast while seeing who the competition was.
And then somehow...
And then didn't listen to your podcast, but did start listening to Do Go On.
That message.
It's confusing and amazing.
That was a narrative in itself. Samuel, thank you so much. In summary, I guess check it out. I can't help but feel maybe you've only supported the Patreon so you could get an ad in for your podcast at the end.
It's pretty smart. It's pretty smart.
Samuel, hats off to you. Good luck with it.
Dave, well done being the bigger man there.
Thank you so much.
That'll be edited out almost definitely.
Aaron, thank you so much for supporting the show, Aaron. Aaron's written, hey guys, I started listening to Book Cheat, the name of the show, Aaron, thanks so much, at the beginning of this year, and I'm hooked. Just wanted to send my love. I haven't checked out Primates or Do Go On yet. These messages aren't usually like this.
I just need to say every truth. I don't want to lie to you at all. I haven't enjoyed it all. I haven't even tried it.
Not for me.
Aaron writes, I'm a big reader. Listening to Dave cover some of my favourite books and books I haven't read yet really makes my day. Thanks, Aaron. My favourite book is Peter Pan. Sorry, I forgot how to read, which I highly recommended for Book Cheat. I'd love to do that actually one day. I also love Frankenstein and really loved your episode on it. Keep up the great stuff. Books forever. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that. Yeah, I think Peter Pan, absolutely.
Yeah, Peter Pan, yeah. Cool.
I'd do the Hook version with Robin Williams.
Love that.
Oh yes, we've done an episode on him.
Yeah,
recently.
Bangarang.
Bangarang.
Timothy, thank you so much. Says to the Book Cheat crew, my favourite book is City of Thieves by David Benioff. It was used as inspiration for the creation of my absolute favourite story and intellectual property, The Last of Us. Ironically enough, when discussing our favourite books with my best friend, I mentioned this book and my friend said this was her most hated book.
Oh, wow. And yet you can still be best friends.
Hey, Jess, what's your favourite intellectual property?
My favourite intellectual property is Neighbours.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Is that your most hated intellectual property?
It is.
And yet we are best friends.
Well done, everyone.
I can't lie. I love Neighbours. I haven't seen it in 10 years,
well,
but
I hate
grew
it.
Up on it.
Good stuff.
So there you go.
Look, we've flipped.
Aren't we cute?
Timothy's asked a question, which is, what do you like to use as a bookmark when you read?
Oh, great. I used to have great bookmarks, like ones that we made in primary school laminated. So they're sturdy.
Yeah, my mum used to use a bookmark that my sister made in prep in 1992.
Yeah, I don't really...
I've used like festival passes.
Yeah,
they're,
receipts.
They're kind of that nice laminated...
Plane tickets.
Yeah.
Plane tickets are really good.
At the moment, I'm just using a full unopened letter that I know is spam. So I'm like, I don't need to open it, but it's a very big bookmark.
That's great. Yep.
But you don't lose your page. Well,
but also, I don't know where to buy bookmarks now. Where do you get them?
They're out of print.
Where do I go get an actual bookmark?
So Bookshop.
Of course, I'm just going to... But then I don't always have them.
Jeez,
I like the ones
they've
with
missed a
tassels.
Trick, haven't they?
Yeah, jeez.
Like, get on
Look
it.
Look at all those bloody reading lights.
I've thought about if I made Book Cheat merch that bookmarks could be
Absolutely.
Mine.
Absolutely,
yes. That's
Can
gold.
I have one for free, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Great, let me know. Got
Dave, could I have one for free?
You can have... Two for free. Cause it sounds like you need a really thick one.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tape them together.
Yeah. You use a smaller book as a bookmark for your larger. So thanks, Timothy. Grace Brooks writes, hi, Dave. Love Book Cheat. Thanks so much for all you three do. So that's for you guys as well, guys.
Thank you so much.
It's seriously hard to choose just one favourite book, but one that I keep coming back to again and again and again and again and again is The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis. It is the first book in the Narnia series. I had to look this up because I was like, is that true? And it is chronologically the first book.
Ah.
And I'm sure people will write in to tell me that otherwise, so I double-checked that. I first read it when I was a kid and I reread it every year. There is something about young adult fiction that is so fantastically magical and wonderful that it keeps me going back to that genre. Thanks again for all the laughs. Thanks, Grace.
That's nice.
It must be interesting, I mean, to have a book and it's so close to a magician, but they just end up doing the whole book about his nephew.
Yeah.
Who's an accountant.
Yeah.
You know?
And a bit
they
of
never
a prick.
Even mention magic.
Yeah. You're thinking, all right, they're going to get to it. They're going to get to
no,
it.
No, it's just never this do. This accountant's
it's
life.
Accountant prick.
He's a prick.
At one point in passing, he says in conversation, oh, my uncle's actually a magician. And you're like, oh, here we go.
Here we
go. And then he changes the topic.
Yeah. And he says, I think it's your round.
Yeah.
He's at the pub.
Yeah, at the pub. Not a lot of it takes place at the pub.
He's an alcoholic.
And it's not his round.
No, it wasn't. He's just
a
being
prick.
A prick.
Absolute prick.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy book. But I'm glad she enjoys it.
Finally, Orla McGrath here. Thank you so much, Orla. Hey, Dave. My favourite book is The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton. I did request it, but it was...
Southeast Hinton. Yeah. I grew up down there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm more of a Northeast Hinton kind of guy.
Yeah, we know, mate.
Orla writes, I did request it, but it was an idiot and spelt the author's name wrong. Maybe all it did write Northeast Hinton. It was published when the author was just 18 years old and is widely considered the first book to be classified as a young adult novel.
Oh,
wow.
That's cool. It's a fantastic look into class warfare, empathy, and loss of childhood innocence. It's a quick read and the movie is pretty good adaptation with a star-studded cast, so much so that a young Tom Cruise is just a glorified extra.
Oh, wow.
Wow. definitely would recommend. Thanks so much. I love the pod. And thank you, Orla.
I know that film, yeah. Yeah, it's a star-studded cast from memory. Is that like, it's all those guys around his age or the sort of went on to be leading men?
All I remember from it is that Tom Cruise is just an extra.
Yeah. I know all of, she's around the Facebook group, the Patreon Facebook group a bit. Always contributing great stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'm looking at the cast here. We've got Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, Patrick Swayze,
Rob Lowe,
Diane Lane, Emilio Estevez, Tom Cruise, Leif Garrett.
Is that the Brat Pack or part of it somehow? Or something?
Yeah, they must.
Or adjacent?
Yeah, this film helped spark the Brat Pack genre of the 1980s.
There you go.
Directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Ah.
Big name.
Sophie's dad. Mainly known
there
as.
You go.
But also chucked out a couple of films himself.
Yeah. Talented family.
Yeah, very. Well, that does bring us to the end of the Book Cheat episode this week. Thank you so much for everyone for listening to it. Much appreciated. Matt and Jess, we've mentioned our podcast Do Go On if you want to check that out. And Matt's Primates. And Listen Now, your music show we haven't talked about.
Yes. That's slowed down a bit during the lockdown. But we'll be getting back to weekly episodes in the next week or so. It's a music podcast where we're going through listeners and people on Patreon and stuff as well voted for the top 20 albums from the 80s, sort of rock or rock adjacent albums, and we're about 7 or 8 albums in. And yeah, it's been a wild ride, all sorts of genres. Huey Lewis and the News kicked it off, but there's been Aussie rock and punk and all sorts of stuff. The Clash are in there, Dave featured on that. The next one coming up is going to be The Smiths, Meet His Murder. And yeah, it's probably been the hardest one for me to get into, but now that I'm into it, I'm right into it. And that's the second season. The first season was about Australian pub rock legends, Cold Chisel, fronted by Jimmy Barnes. So yeah, that's Listen Now with Matt and Sam, it's called. And a bloody good time.
Bloody fun.
Bloody good time. And Jess, your quest
is to
get 10,000 followers on Instagram.
I'm so close. I don't understand why people don't just follow me. Yeah. You can mute people. Just follow me and then mute me. You never have to look at it again.
Let's do a live update right here. As I'm at the time of recording.
While you're doing that, Dave, I can tell you, believe this or not, the New Zealand TV Awards are called not the NZs, but the NZ TV Awards. It's so close.
So close and quite dull.
NZ TV Awards.
Love that.
At the time of recording, 9,558.
Well, sorry, 57. I've just unfollowed you.
You piece of shit.
No, get on there. Less than 500 to go. That's amazing.
I know. And then I can just die happy.
Yeah, and then you'll delete.
Don't you want me to be happy?
Log out forever after that.
Jess also does great content anyway, so that's the bonus. Once you're following her, you'll see great photos and stories, which I always forget to watch, but apparently they're real good. I forget stories are there.
Who says they're good then?
Oh, I've just seen it. I've heard people say
it. There's hype. You've got hype.
There's buzz around.
Yeah.
Heaps of it.
Yeah. I mean, the photos are good.
Yeah.
So check that.
But those stories.
That's
so
where it's
follow Jess. Follow her.
Oh, and the other thing we should mention, Dave, is the Do Go On live streams.
Oh, yeah. We are doing some live streams of Do Go On. So if you liked the vibe here today, you can see the three of us live stream to your lounge room, wherever you're. Devices, maybe floating in a pool.
Maybe you could be in the bath.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That's where I've been.
That's the dream.
I've been watching the Umbrella Academy in the bath exclusively. It's so good.
That's great.
There was one scene in an episode a few weeks ago where the shot was of a bath and it was the exact mirror of me. And it felt real weird, but great.
Yeah, that's good.
You were part of it.
I felt like I was in it.
Yeah.
I was in the Umbrella Academy.
That's awesome.
Wow.
But I was just in the bath.
Just thanks for being clear about it.
Sitting at my wet desk. Or the liquid cinema, as I've started calling it.
Like that. So, yeah, we're doing 4 live streams at 4 different times to capture different parts of the world. It's a world tour live from our studio.
Oh, you got to do a book-related one, Dave.
Okay.
Challenge accepted. Go.
Challenge accepted. I'll link to all that stuff. I'll link to Jess's Instagram, our podcast, and tickets for the live stream. They start at the end of November 2020, and for 4 weeks. But thanks so much for listening, and until next time, thanks, Bookchooks. And I will say...
Books forever!
Man, it feels so much less sad with someone else doing it. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.